And now I'd like to introduce our main speaker for this evening, Zenny H. from NDO.
You're too tall, I'm too short. Hi, I'm sitting on an alcoholic. Can you all hear me? You better fix your speakers, because the way I talk, I mean, I'm loud, okay? So, and I'm just kidding. Anyway, like I said, I'm sitting on an alcoholic, and I want to thank Randy for asking me to speak. I want to thank Larry for taking me to dinner, Fairly for taking me to dinner, and I want to thank you all for being here for me, and I want to welcome the 7 newcomers. And I want to tell you that I'm the most important person in this room because I'm the speaker, okay? So if you don't like it, don't get a resentment. Call your sponsor. If you don't have a sponsor, get one, okay? My sobriety date is March 27, 1999. I have a sponsor, Maggie R. My home group is the ABC Club Speakers Meeting at the Friday Night Meeting in Indio, California. And I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love San Diego. I'm from Chicago, and I live in Indio, the desert. It's so ugly that there's nothing to do but to drink. So you guys are lucky to live in San Diego because I love the weather. I can wear my boots. I can wear my coat because in Indio, that's not how it is, okay? So anyway, like I said, I'm from Chicago, and I'm half Puerto Rican. I'm half Mexican, and that was my first resentment. Because I don't know if I should say I'm Puerto Rican or am I Mexican. So, I mean, which side should I go, you know? So that was my first resentment. And so I was about 11 years old when I started drinking, 10, 11, I don't know, who cares, you know? I just remember I was about that age. And my mom's side of the family are into the import-export business. You know what I'm talking about? Exactly, okay? My dad's side of the family are also import-export business. Exactly, okay? So this is a good combination right here. Okay, my thing was not drugs. My thing was alcohol. I remember being about 11, 10 years old and drinking wine coolers, whatever you have. I mean, give me whatever alcohol. Give me NyQuil. I'll drink it, you know? I don't care. So I grew up with my grandma because I was a spoiled little brat, and my grandma told me that I was a special little girl, and I believe that. I was a spoiled brat. I treated my cousins like shit, excuse my language, any kids around here. So anyway, I grew up being like always like isolated. Like I thought I was too good, you know. I was better than my cousins. I was better than my sisters. I was better than my brother. And we are 7 in the family, 1 guy, 6 girls, and I'm in the middle. My older sister never did anything wrong. It's like she always behaved. And she made it so bad for me because whatever I would do, it always made me look bad. You know, it's like my older sister was like the nun and I was like the devil in the house. Oh, it was just terrible. So guess what? I went to Catholic schools and they all went to public schools. And that was another resentment I had on my list, on my 9th step. Oh, my God. Why am I going to Catholic schools and they're all going to public schools? I hated that. Well, guess what? I was in 6th grade, and you know what I carry in my back pocket? In my school bag? Not books. I carry joints, you know, the little foil papers and foils. I was already selling drugs when I was in 6th grade, okay? And I'm not proud of that, but this is my story. Randy asked me to speak, so if you guys don't like it, like I said, call your sponsor, okay? Because there's going to be a lot more you might not like. And if you're a newcomer, come back next Friday because, hey, it might be somebody else better than Zenny. But you know what? This is my story, and I cannot change it. And if I would have known that I was going to be here in San Diego like 10 years later, I would have probably done more damage out there and bring it back to you guys, you know? So anyway, this is the only place where I can really talk about my crazy life, and you guys all laugh about it. But if I'm home talking to my family about my crazy life, they think I'm crazy. But here, I feel like I'm home, okay? So I was already selling drugs when I was in 6th grade. So guess what? The nuns kicked me out because they found out I was selling drugs, okay? So they kicked me out from Catholic schools. And the reason I talk like this, I was a chola, a gangster with the Latin Kings in Chicago. So that's why I have to throw signs like this, okay? So don't take it personal, okay? I'm not throwing signs at anybody, okay? This is just the way I talk. Some things just don't want to believe me, you know? It's like, I can help it, okay? So I became a gangster. My brother became a gangster. And my brother was like, he's about almost 3 years older than me. And I admire my brother. I wanted to be like my brother. You know, they call him Snake. I wanted to be like little güerita or little chiquita. My nickname was Agüera, W-E-D-A. And I'm like, okay, I wanted something cool. Why güera, you know? But anyway, that was my nickname. So I got kicked out from the Catholic schools. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to public school. And I did. So I went to public schools, and I had my own gang. We were like six girls, and we were wearing black and gold. And you know, and I thought I was bad, and I was the leader. And, oh, man, I was the one in charge, and we were selling drugs. And, I mean, I had it, but I was drinking. And I remember going home, and I just couldn't wait to open my dad had this bottles of tequila, Cuervo, Presidente, and whatever they had. And I remember drinking that straight out of the bottle, and then going and putting water, and I would mix it and put it, and I would put that back into my dad's bar. I don't know if he ever found out, but I wasn't going to say anything anyway. So the next day, I would get up with a hangover, and then my sister had that hairspray called Aquanet, and smells just like alcohol. I would have this hair like Madonna or Cyndi Lauper's hairdo, like this big old punk. I would spray that a lot so it wouldn't mix with my breath because I had to go to school. And I didn't want the teachers to find out, hey, have you been drinking or something? So, you know, I had to mix that Aquanet with my breath, and it was like, okay. I thought I had it on. I'm like, wow, I have it going on. So that it was like that, drinking, going to school. And I was really smart, but I don't want to hang around with the nerds. I want to hang around with the bad people. And then I remember one time my younger sister, she got the student of the month, and I was in the office, and my dad was in the office with my sister. And I'm there because I'm being a bad daughter, or I've been a bad student, and my dad told me, I cannot believe you. I hate it when he always compares me with my sister, my younger, or my older sister. I cannot believe you cannot be like your sister, Nena. Why is it always you that have to be in the office? They call me because you are not doing good, and you were suspended for 3 days, and you signed your own notes that I'm supposed to sign. And I'm like, oops, you know? And I thought I had it going on, you know? Because when you drink, you think you can control the whole world. Don't leave. The meeting is not over yet. Come back next Friday. Anyway. Or next Saturday. I'm sorry. Okay. So anyway. And I'm not drunk, okay? I'm sober. I'm just glad you have that broomstick over here, because the way I talk and the way I move, this would be hitting you, Larry, okay? So you guys watch on for this, okay? Okay. So anyway. So what happened is, I'm going to school, and I'm being a bad student, and I know I'm smart, but I don't want to hang around with the nerds. According to me, they were nerds, okay? So what do? I keep drinking, getting in trouble, because that was the only way I would get attention from my dad. If I would do something good in school, oh, okay, it's okay. So I knew that if I would not do good in school, that I would get my dad's attention or my mom's. And that was the only way I would get attention. So why even behave when I'm not going to get any A+, you know? So I ran away with the gangs and my brother, and we're selling, like, the big stuff now. I'm not selling joints. Now I'm going into, you know, big stuff. So I'm already going in high school. And so what happened, when you hang around with the bad people, you know something's going to happen to you. So I got shot on my neck right here. So I was paralyzed on my left-hand side. So if you see my lips moving, like if I'm throwing you kisses, don't think I'm throwing you kisses, okay? It's because I was paralyzed on my left-hand side, and my lips kind of like twist a little bit. And it's not that I'm flirting with you guys, okay? Okay, so that's the reason why. So I was paralyzed. I was in the hospital. I was in a wheelchair with my high heels. Don't you know in a wheelchair I have to look good? Don't you know, I'm from Chicago, I have to look good. So I'm in a wheelchair with my pink cast and my high heels, and I remember the doctors telling my parents, she's not going to be able to walk. And I'm like, oh no, I'm going to be a cheerleader no matter what, I'm going to walk. So just thinking I was going to be a cheerleader, I'm going to physical therapy, and I'm walking, and I made it. And I'm wearing my 5 inches high heels today, okay? So guess what? I think, you know, the only thing I liked about that being in the hospital was the painkillers. Oh, that was something else. Oh, my God. I'm like, oh, give me more, you know, because, oh, my God, I love that. So drinking progressed a lot more. I was drinking a lot more, and I just couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop drinking anymore. Drugs was not my thing because I was making money out of the drugs, so why even, you know, use drugs when, you know, why? I mean, I'm making money. So alcohol was really my thing. So I get shot. When I got shot on my neck, and I remember being in the hospital, and I remember just feeling sorry for myself. But you know what? I made it. And at that time, I just didn't believe in God because I hate the nuns. Any nuns in the room? I hope not. Nope. Any brothers? No. I hope. Okay, now I can go on. I don't like the nuns. I don't like the brothers. Why? Because I remember they created this God in my mind that it was a punishing God. If you don't behave, God is going to do this. You better leave your skirts long because I used to cut them. If you don't stop doing that, God is going to take you away. And so that God that I believe was my God, it was a monster. You know, I don't want that God in my life. So I remember getting out of that hospital, and I never said, oh, thank you, God, I made it. No, I'm like, oh, good, I'm ready to move, you know, do more damage. So I got out of the hospital, and as soon as I got out of the hospital, you know, I continued to drink more and party and drink and party and hang around with the bad people. And my parents just couldn't control me. My dad became he physically abused me. He hit me. I cannot even tell you how many times he hit me with the belt. Did I stop? No. I would get drunk, kill the pain, go to sleep. Next day, same thing. He would hit me with the belt, with the boots, whatever. You know, he's like this guy from Texas, like, you know, macho Mexican guy. And you know, he was my dad. But I hated my dad. I hated my dad because that was the only love that he would give me. And for me, that was not good. So what do? I continue to drink. I couldn't complain to my mom because my mom loves my dad. And for my mom, my dad was like her higher power. And that's okay. Now that's the way I see it. So what happens? Like a year after I got shot, I'm back in school. My dad has this friend, best friend. He raped me, kidnapped me for 4 months. He took me to Mexico. And this is my dad's best friend. And this is a married man. Okay? He rapes me, takes me to Mexico for 4 months. I'm in Mexico for 4 months. I don't have any family in Mexico. I have no clue what the heck am I doing. The only thing I remember, he would give me booze. And I remember drinking a lot for 4 months. I mean, like crazy, because I don't want to feel the pain. I had my boyfriend who was in the army, you know, and I was going to marry this guy. We're going to go to college and all this. Oh, now I'm in Mexico with my dad's best friend. Oh, my God. So what do? Drink. Drink and drink. I hated life. I hated everybody. I hated people that were happy. I hated my life. I just wanted to die. And I became this sour, sour person. So what do? I call my family. And my dad is like, no, we're not going to help you. We cannot let anybody know what's really going on with you. We're going to tell family members that you went to either Texas or Puerto Rico on vacation. Stay there. Well, guess what? Who helped me are my mom's side of the family. They don't like my dad's family because they're like, you know, enemies. Well, they went to Mexico and they got me on December 12, like almost 12, 13 years ago. They got me and I came back to the USA and I was pregnant with my little boy. My little boy looks just like his father. Can you imagine when you have you've been raped and kidnapped and then you have a little boy look just like this man. I just couldn't take it. And then my mom and my dad are like, you're going to have this child no matter what, you know, and we're going to tell these people that you got married in Mexico. And I wanted to press charges on this guy, but I was underage and I didn't know the law. I mean, I don't know the law. I just know how to sell drugs. That's all I know what to do, you know. So anyway, this man came back from Mexico and my dad told me that you're going to marry this guy. I'm like, no, you know, I can't because he's the guy who raped me. And my dad said, just do it. Okay. I was drinking a lot more to block the pain, but I was afraid of my father. I was so afraid of my father. So they married me because I remember signing whatever paper when you get married and having my little boy. So this man became just like my father. He physically abused me, and all I remember doing was drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. And I became somebody else that I had no clue who I was. So does that make me an alcoholic? No, I'm just sharing with you what it was before. And I'll get to what happened and how it is right now. So what happened is that man decided to come to California. And my dad is like, you go with him, go to California. Nobody knows who you are. Start all over. So I came with that man to California, Palm Springs. And then I got pregnant again with my little girl. So now I have a boy and now I have a little girl. I hated my father. I hated this man. I hated the nuns. I hated God. So drinking was my only solution to whatever pain, feeling I was going through at that moment. I could have killed anybody. at that moment. But I couldn't because I had no tools. I just didn't know how to live life without alcohol. So what happened? 1994, my father passed away. He died from a heart attack. And I'm sorry, but you know what? I was happy that he died. Because when my father passed away in Chicago, I went to his funeral. And I remember seeing my dad, and I said, wow, I can now go back to California and divorce that man and leave that man forever. And that's exactly what I did. I came back to California. I went to court. I got the papers, and I filed for divorce. And I just made up an address that this man left me. He abandoned me. I told the judge, I don't know where he's at. We're still together. Well, we got divorced. We got divorced, and we're still living together like for 6 months. I remember one day he came home all drunk, and he tried to hit me, and I'm like, uh-uh. I showed him my divorce papers. I said, uh-uh, you're through. And I would never talk to him like that. Oh, my God, no, 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 no. I said, we're through. So he's like, what are you talking about? I said, we're through. We're divorced. He couldn't believe it. I kicked him out of the house. I locked that door. I had my two little kids. And I said, we're done. And I was so happy. He was like, what do you mean we're divorced? And I'm like, go to court and find out. You know, I was like, I'm through with you. So can you believe it? This man thought that I was so stupid. My dad thought that I was so stupid. But look what I did. I got divorced. He had no clue we were divorced. You know, and even now he's like, we're not divorced. Oh, because I put him back in jail. He's in Chicago. I put him in jail. So anyway, he left, and I put him back in. He went back to Chicago and I pressed charges, and he's there. He can stay there. But he was on my fourth step because I had a lot of resentments. I mean, too many resentments. So then, what happens after that? The same pattern. You know, I'm here in California. I'm gonna stay here. I'm gonna go to college, and I became a criminal law paralegal. And I used to work at the courthouse part-time, and I was going to see the College of the Desert. So I'm thinking, okay. So I'm working at the courthouse part-time, and I see this man, older man, like, you know, like kind of like look like my dad, like older man. And I'm like, he's good-looking. And my friend said, stop, he's married. No insult. I said, good, I like him like that. You know, I can be the mistress, you know. And like I said, if you guys don't like it, this is my story, okay. That's what I'm talking about, okay? They said, he's happily married. And I'm like, good, better for me. Because you know what? I'm the type of alcoholic that if I know that you're happy, I want to destroy that. And then walk away and leave you, you know? And then go to my next victim. Because I just hated life. So poor guy, okay? There he comes. He's an attorney, well-successful attorney. And he's well-known for a good attorney. And I'm like, oh, hi. He gave me his business card. And I'm looking at his last name. I'm like, oh, Rodriguez, same last name as that jerk. I call him the jerk, you know, that husband that I had. I'm like, God, you do have a sense of humor. Why Rodriguez? I can't stand that last name. I hate that last name. So anyway, I asked him, do you want to come to my birthday party? He's like, oh, when is your birthday party? And I'm like, tomorrow at some restaurant, you know, the Mexico Typical where I took you guys. And so the next day, he showed up at the restaurant with a cake. And he's like, where's everybody else? And I'm like, oh, they left. You're late. It's not true. It wasn't even my birthday. And nobody else showed up, okay? That's what alcohol did to me, okay? I was a big liar, okay? So he's like, oh, so I'm like, yeah, but we can celebrate. So I'm like, so are you married? He's like, yes. And I'm like, happily married? He says, yes. And I'm like, shit, it's going to be a lot of work, but I'm going to do it. It took me 1 week. 1 week, and he's already calling me, paging me. I mean, he's sending me texts and this and this and that. And I had a boyfriend, my boyfriend at the time. And my boyfriend was like boring. He didn't drink, didn't go out. Oh, don't you know? I started going into the business party. I would party TJ, Mexicali, because LA was already like not good for me. I would party a lot, like every weekend, and I never got a DUI. I remember crossing the border from TJ to San Diego, drunk. I don't know why, how, did not, never got a DUI. You know, so anyway, I'm with this married man, and I became the mistress for almost 3 years. And my boyfriend found out, his wife found out, his kids found out, his mother found out. They will slash my tires, and he would put brand new tires. They're slashing my tires. I'm like, hey, I need new tires. And it was crazy. It was like, it was just crazy. But you know what? My God, it was like, I just couldn't get out of it. So then he asked me, do you drink? And I'm like, no. And then he says, I don't drink either. Liar. We were like drinking bodies after that. We were drinking a lot. I just couldn't stop drinking after that. I'm having an affair with a married man. I have to drink. You know, I have to drink. I can take this, you know, sober. So I remember getting drunk every single day. So it got so crazy that one day he promised me the world and it didn't happen. So I wanted to die. So what do? I take depression pills, tequila, diet pills, because I don't want to leave anymore, okay? So I'm living at this, and I'm still selling drugs, okay? I'm still doing my import-export business. That doesn't stop until now that I'm sober. So I live at this country club, and I remember taking all these pills, and I don't want to leave anymore. And I remember calling the security gate, I want to give access to my friend, Maryville. I mean, if you really want to die, why leave the door unlocked and why call the security gate to give access to your friend? You know, it's like, I don't think I wanted to die. I just wanted attention. You know, so that's exactly what I did. You know, I wanted to die, so then my friend showed up. They took me to the hospital. Now I have CPS chasing me because my daughter's 3 years old. And, you know, it's like, you know, and I'm still thinking, you know, drinking is my only solution. You know, I'm drinking and drinking a lot more. It's like I just couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop drinking. It was like on a daily basis. So, and I have a job, you know, just to pretend that I'm not in the import-export business, I have a job. So I got fired. Why do I get fired? Because I don't get along with my coworkers and I smell like alcohol. And I'm always late and I go home early. I don't show up on Mondays and I go home early on Fridays. And then I get fired. And I'm like, why? You know? Oh, my God. It's crazy. You know, it's just crazy. So what do I do? I'm like, okay, so what do I do? Oh, I remember that my throat is hurting me a little bit. So I go and see my doctor. And my doctor says, whoa, I haven't seen in a long time. I'm like, well, I got fired. I have nothing else to do, okay? He says, well, I feel this lump in your neck. I'm like, okay, whatever. He says, it could be cancer. I'm like, cancer? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, shit. He says, I want you back in 2 weeks. You think I was going to go back in 2 weeks? No, I got drunk for 2 weeks in a row because I want to die happy and I don't want to feel the pain because according to me, I already have cancer. Okay? So I get drunk and I went back to see my doctor and then he's like, Sandy, I want you to come back with no alcohol in your blood. We're going to draw blood, and every time you come to see me, your blood alcohol level is pretty high. I don't even know how you can drive here to the office. I'm like, I hate this doctor. I don't like this doctor, you know? But anyway, I listen to this doctor. So then he says, okay, you do have a lump in your neck, and we're going to remove that lump, but you cannot drink. I'm like, why? He says, because it's going to be a main surgery. We're going to remove your two thyroid glands and a lump. So come back sober. I'm like, okay. I said, well, how am I going to do that? He says, go to AA. And I'm thinking, what the heck is AA? I'm thinking AAA, American Airlines. AA, you know, it's like, I never heard that before. But my ego is so big that I'm pretending like I understand what the doctor is telling me I need to go. But honestly, I don't. I'm like, okay, so I'm still having an affair with this married man. So I called him and I said, hey, the doctor said I need to go to some AA. What's that? And he says, that's Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, ew. I'm like, isn't that like for like shopping cart people, like homeless people? I have class. Look at me. Like, no. He says, don't be afraid. I'll take you to your first meeting. I'm like, oh, no. I got freaked out. I got really scared. But the doctor gave me a card. I guess it's a court card. And I needed to show my doctor that I went to 5 meetings in 1 week or something like that. I'm like, oh, my God. So he took me to my first meeting. And believe me, I didn't like you guys. I thought you guys were old, like no social life, like boring people. I'm like, no, I don't like this meeting. I said, let's go to another meeting. The Friday night meeting, that's my home group. We are loud, crazy people, but fun. We are just fun. Because if I'm going to stay sober, I want to be happy. I don't want to be unhappy and sour and looking like I'm having a bad day. I'm sorry, but that's not what I want, okay? So I went to AA at that meeting, and you guys were like, hey, and all this and that, just like me right now. I'm like, maybe this is where I belong. So I continue to go. I never got up as a newcomer. I was too good, don't you know? I'm not going to get up as a newcomer for 30 days. Heck no. So I used to say, I'm here because he's an alcoholic. You know, exactly. You people were laughing. Keep coming back. I'm like, ooh, I hate it. So anyway, for 18 months, I went. I had my surgery on June 19, 1989. And then I asked my doctor, can I drink now? He says, no, you're going to be depending on Lebaxo. It's this little pill that is going to give you the energy and I know the whole doctor deal. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to drink anymore. He says, no, for the rest of your life. And I'm like, what happens if I drink? He says, you're going to die. I'm like, oh, then I don't think I want to find out. So guess what? I continue to go to AA. 18 months in sobriety without a sponsor. People ask me to sponsor them. I'm like, what the heck? What's a sponsor anyway? I thought a sponsor was like somebody who's going to sponsor you. No, when you go to like sponsor a soccer team or a baseball team, I'm like, no, I don't need a sponsor. I can buy my own clothes. You know, I don't need a sponsor. And then people talk about you. People take your inventory, and I just couldn't take that because I was not strong. I was a people pleaser. I couldn't dress like this because, oh my God, what if his wife gets mad? Oh, he's going to look at me. No, I don't care. I love it. When people talk about me, good, talk about me. Because the minute you stop, then I'm going to worry. I might be doing something wrong. You know? So what do I do 18 months? Oh my God, I'm like, I can't believe I don't have a sponsor. Okay, the doctor said I cannot drink anymore, so I have to get a sponsor. And so I asked this director of the ABC Club. I guess I need a sponsor. Can you help me get a sponsor? And he called this mean-looking lady, old lady, went like that. I'm like, oh, not her. Heck no. I'm like, so anyway, she gave me her number. I gave her my number, and she said, call me. You think I was going to call this lady? No, I wasn't going to call this lady. I'm doing my shopping spree because I'm under a lot of stress. So I'm doing some shopping. My phone rings, and I picked it up, and it was a lady. Hi. This is your sponsor, the one that you don't want to have. I'm like, ugh. I wanted to hang up. You want my water? So anyway, she says, when can we meet? And I'm thinking, I was going to take my notary public exam that week, that day, that time. Can we meet at that office? She said, I'll be there. That lady showed up. I wasn't around. I went to taking my test. And that man that I'm having an affair with, now I'm working with him, he calls and says, hey, your sponsor is here to see you. And I'm like, tell her that I'm running late. You tell her. She's not my sponsor. I'm like, oh, shit. She said, Zenny, I'll wait for you as long as you have to take. I'm not going to move. I'll wait for you in the office. I'm driving in circles around my office. So I finally, I went like this. I'm like, okay, whatever you want. So I went in the office. She gave me a big book. It looks pretty nice. Blue book, blue cover. But when I opened that book, boring, no pictures, just letters. I'm like, I cannot believe how boring these people can be. Not even one picture. I'm going through the whole big book, and I'm like, oh my God, you expect me to read this boring book? And she says, it's going to save your life. And I'm like, I don't think so. So anyway, she took me through my steps, 1, 2, and 3. And then my third step, I guess you're supposed to cry and feel that, you know, and I didn't. And she says, you're lying to me. You don't believe in God. And I'm like, I do. And she says, no, you don't. I'm like, okay, I don't. So then she says, go back to step one and step two. So I went back to step one and step two. Third step again. And that time, it didn't work. I didn't cry. I didn't feel the feeling and all that. She says, Zenny, you have to be honest. You do not believe in God. And I said, Maggie, you're just getting too old. You don't know how to work the third step anymore. She said, can you shut up, listen to me, go back to step one. And then she says, Zenny, she asked me, do you believe in God? And I'm like, I don't believe in your God. And she says, okay, it doesn't have to be my God. Who can be your God? And I'm like, Al Capone. She says, okay, then make Al Capone be your God. So Al Capone became my God for a couple of minutes, okay? And this time around, I did my first and my second and my third step, and I cried, 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 and I remember just feeling that, you know, that feeling of surrendering, and I surrendered, and I finally accepted the fact that I was an alcoholic. I'm like, you know what, Maggie, I'm crying because I'm an alcoholic. And she says, yeah, finally, you know? For almost 2 years, I was in denial. I was just going to meetings, doing the, you know, whatever you guys do. But I was in denial. I thought I was too good to be an alcoholic. And after my third step, the third time around, I couldn't stop crying. And then I believe in a higher power. And I hated God because he took my father away. He took my grandma away. And then at that moment, I'm like, okay, now I believe in God. But God is not going to be that punishing God. God can be Madonna, Marilyn Monroe, Al Capone, whoever. As long as you have a higher power, that's all that matters. So I did my third, all my steps, my traditions, the book, that blue book, that ugly book, believe it or not, we went through all the stories in the big book. And I remember finishing that book. At the end of the last story, I remember looking at that book, and it was a beautiful book. It was a different meaning, a different view than the first time. And now I still have that big book, and I love my big book. And I sponsor people when I was on my third step, and I have a lot of sponsors. And I still, oh, then I fired my sponsor because I thought I was too good. I don't need you as a sponsor anymore. Because I called my sponsor, and she never called me back, so I got a resentment. And she says, Sandy, I never told you I was going to call you. I have my own sponsor. I ask you to call me every day. So I got mad because sometimes you just feel like you have everything going on. You don't need a sponsor. So that's what I thought. I was about to drink when I was on my 6 year or 7 year sober. I remember calling that sponsor. And she says, Sandy, you want me to be your sponsor again? I'm like, yes. And she says, just ask. I'm like, I can't. My ego. We have to smash that ego. Ask me to be your sponsor. I'm like, Maggie, can you be my sponsor? She says, of course I can be your sponsor, but we're going to start all over. Step one, two, and three. I'm like, ah. You see? So I did, you know, and she's my sponsor, and I love my sponsor, and now she's a beautiful lady. And what do I do now? I mean, I passed my paralegal exam, my court interpreter exam. Now I want to be an attorney. There's so many things that I want to do. My daughter and my son in my life. And life is beautiful. That man got divorced, and we're still together. You know, we're getting there. You know, he's also sober, and I'm sober. And his wife finally left us alone. She goes to Al-Anon. she got married. Life is good. Randy, they're gonna go after you after the meeting, okay? And you know what? Now I just love sobriety. My family don't understand Alcoholics Anonymous. My mom doesn't like my sponsor. She gets jealous of my sponsor. My sisters don't like my sponsees. And I go to meetings. I sponsor people. And now I have a commitment. My first commitment was the H&I. I did it for 2 years. And then I did the intergroup for about 4 years. I became secretary. Now I get the speakers for my home group. And I love my commitment. And now I'm like, I love Alcoholics Anonymous. And I will do whatever it takes to stay sober. Because I remember going to TJ Mexicali, just go out and have a good time and get drunk and get on the tables. Now I can get drunk and get on the table, but I don't have to get drunk. I can act like if I'm drunk. But you know what? I might go to clubs and act like if I'm drunk, but actually I'm just having a good time. And this is all to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm happy. This is who I am here, outside, where I work, my office. I mean, everywhere I go, because I don't want to be that sour, sour alcoholic, because I probably drink, you know? So I told my sponsees, you know, life is good. You might have to make some changes. Maybe good, maybe bad. We don't know. But this changes in my life. I am who I am. I'm not pleasing anybody. I love Zenny. I have my tools. I protect my tool. I protect my soul, you know, like my steps. And I don't talk to people the way I don't want them to talk to me. People laugh about me. They make jokes about me. Guess what? Hate me. I love myself. I don't care, you know. And that's why? Because Alcoholics Anonymous. I went to see a counselor when I was having an affair, and she told me, you have a drinking problem. I fired her, and I went to another counselor. She says, you have a drinking problem. I fired her. But you know what? They were both right. I have a drinking problem, and it's okay. I'm happy to say that I'm an alcoholic, and it's my first time here at this meeting, and I hope you guys heard something that you might stay sober tonight, and if not, I know I'm going to stay sober. I know I am. Coming from Indio to San Diego, I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. You know, I'm driving through the mountains by myself. I got a hotel room, and I'm thinking, my God, this is pretty far. But then now that I'm here, I feel so grateful. just to share with you what Alcoholics Anonymous did to me, what it's doing to me, and what I know is going to keep doing to me if I stay sober. And I want to thank you for being here for me. Thanks.